This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1463. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded June 2nd, the ex from Bolivia and Brazil, inside CRI and RHC, Equatorial Guinea's mailbag, new schedules from Ireland, Kashmir, VOA, GED threatens VOA, Navy Mars sunset, Vatican Radio goes commercial, and who else? And the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. On May 26th, I wrote, I have accomplished the impossible. I've heard a local ID on the Caribbean beacon, Anguilla 11775. Normally, it's 24/7 satellite feed from the University Network headquarters in Los Angeles. However, at 1329 UT that date, I heard a hefty mix of three audio sources. On the bottom, something in Chinese, which disappeared a minute later. That's the Chaicom jamming against All India Radio's Tibetan service via Goa. And that left two preachers in English mixing at about equal level. One was certainly Pastor Melissa Scott, parallel to WWCR on 13845. But the other had a Caribbean lilt to his accent. And a couple of minutes later, there was a break before the next show started, and I heard an ID by the local YL announcer on Anguilla. This is the Caribbean Beacon Radio. This continued to be the case for the next week, just about every morning. As observed by Brandon Jordan, this mixture ended at 1601 UT. This happens to match the time when the Caribbean Beacon medium wave frequency 1610 kHz breaks away from the University Network for local programming. George McClinock explains that there was a problem with RF from 1610 getting into the audio processor for the shortwave transmitter. Apparently that's only between 10 and 16 UT. The rest of the time, the same thing is probably happening, except the audio is identical, so you can't tell it's happening. WRTH Monitor reported that Bangladesh was planning to adopt daylight shifting time in June of UT plus 7 hours. Now that's been confirmed from midnight June 19th. The change is to be made, according to reports via Supratik Sanatani in West Bengal. This is supposed to save electricity by saving daylight, even though, as we often point out, daylight cannot be saved, it can only be shifted. Furthermore, it's absurd for a country like Bangladesh in the tropics to be doing this, and it puts it a sesquihour ahead of the country, which is not only west of it, but also north and east of it, namely India. Furthermore, it'll be a semi-hour ahead of Myanmar or Burma, which is also east of Bangladesh. Alokesh Gupta in India forwards another report about this. One of the justifications is that 70 countries are already observing DST, so why not one more? It's not clear when they will be going back to standard time, perhaps at the end of September. That means, of course, that radio broadcasts will be starting and ending one real UT hour earlier during this period. For example, and this may apply to the shortwave relays signing on at 2300 UT and off at 1610, starting June 19th. Bob Wilkner in Florida keeps surveying the tropical stations in Latin America. For example, he finds that Radio Pio XII in 20th century Bolivia, 5952.54, signs on after 1100 UT, as noted May 29th and 30th. Also heard every evening at midnight UT when there is much interference and a rather weak signal, that being from WYFR on 5950. A very rare Bolivian we haven't seen reported in some months, since it made quite a splash last year when it first appeared, is Radio Calsachun Coca. in Lauca on 6075. Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in São Paulo State, Brazil, reports hearing it May 29th in Spanish at 2325 UT, praising Evo Morales and with other political talk. An ID at 2336. And again on May 31st, he heard it with the national anthem at 10:01 UT. I guess they were probably signing on. And Andean music also heard until an ID at 10:15 on 6075. Then there's Radio Fides in Bolivia. We have two reports of it. Another one, not on its exact frequency. Dave Valco on a de-expedition in Pennsylvania measured 6155.28. He says it was already on the air before 1000 UT at 0953 May 27th, apparently with news. And then on May 30th, Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania was hearing it on 6155.27. Radio Fides in La Paz from 0150 until sign-off at 0200. They were playing Bolivian music, announcements, and ID just before closing. In Brazil, Radio Confidencia in Belo Horizonte is back on the air on 6010. Actually, yet another one, not quite on the exact frequency. Brian Alexander measured that on 6009.80. May 31st at 0905 to 0925 with an ID at 0913. He says it was poor and weak, but in the clear, and strangely enough, no sign of Mexico or Colombia at this time on 6010. He says, I also heard them 4 or 5 hours earlier on 6009.77. He thinks that's what it was, but there was a lot of interference from the other stations, which were on the air at that time. And here's another very strange frequency, 6500. What's this distorted music I'm hearing centered there May 31st at 0630? The carrier was not stable. I would call it a strong blubbering signal, perhaps with some utility interference. They started talking at 0638, and I finally, after straining a bit, determined it was in Brazilian. That made the prime suspect, Radio Nacional da Amazônia, and sure enough, it was missing from the frequency it's supposed to be on, 6185, leaving Mexico in the clear. That's not usually the case on UT Sundays when Brasilia is running all night. And clinching it, I found parallel 11780. So their 6185 transmitter was extremely out of order. Was no one paying attention in Rodeador Park? And I wonder, when are they going to get those new transmitters installed that press reports say they have purchased? And by the way, I suspect it is not a coincidence that both frequencies have two digits in common, 6 and 5. Someone was not too careful in punching up the frequency. And who knows if it will ever happen again. Amateur Radio Newsline reported May 29th, Brazil cracks down on pirate operators. Thanks to Mike Terry for sending that on, working with U.S. intelligence. Cracking down on pirates who've been using an abandoned U.S. military satellite system for their personal use. It's FLTSATCOM, Fleet Satellite Communication System. 8 non-encrypted commsats launched between 1978 and 1989, but replaced with a more secure system in the 1990s. Yet, they're still operational and have been used for at least 5 years by what this story calls pirate radio operators in Brazil. Now they're being tracked down and fined or even jailed if convicted. Unfortunately, this doesn't go into much detail. What's the frequency? Tim Bucknell in England says it's 240 to 290 megahertz. I thought a lot of the Brazilian traffic was not intentional piracy, just that SATCOM was accidentally picking up Brazilian two-way traffic. Some of it sounds like taxi traffic. He says, I hope it isn't the end of SATCOM. I love all those accidental relays and interesting accidents. And he was still hearing it on June 1st at 1537 UT, something on 257.150 megahertz. Bet you didn't know that CHU is on 10 megahertz. Well, almost. Bill Mead in Pennsylvania reports hearing the third harmonic of 3330. May 30th at 12:15 UT on 9990 kilohertz, just below WWV. It was very weak, but he was able to detect it with a familiar time code from CHU. Nothing was heard on the second harmonic 6660. Alexander in Netherlands reports to Cumbradiex, a Spanish station, on 6990.1 at 2220 May 29th, identifying as La Nueva Voz de Canaria Libre. Could it be a clandestine for the Canary Islands? Well, it so happens that Alex Vanis in West Virginia knows the answer. He says, I was in a chat room with a pirate station called Cactus Jack Radio. And he was the operator of this. He was in Catalonia with 10 watts, although previously he's been transmitting 100 watts mobile from the Balearic Islands, not only on this, but on 6910. As for the Canary programming, it probably came from a podcast discovered by Roberto Scaglioni at canariaslibre.podcast.es. In fact, they have 25 episodes there, and with the latest one from May 23rd. And this may or may not be the same pirate operator heard by Carlos Gonsalves in Portugal, May 24th at 2032 on 6910 with English Pops, and on 6940, May 26th at 2109. It sounded like they were identifying then as Classic Hit Radio. BBC World Service has a two-part documentary, The Lost Voices of Tiananmen, about the events of 20 years ago in Beijing. No, it does not include that historic Radio Beijing broadcast we had on last week's program, but a very interesting documentary, probably still available on the BBC World Service website if you check for those. First broadcast Monday, May 20th and 27th. Thanks to Jay Sachtevel in India for tipping us on those. Kai Ludwig translates a report from Gagar Paul in Austria about his visit to China Radio International at the invitation of the German service. The entrance to the building is severely guarded. It was of no use to show off the CRI letter with my name. The voice of the person in uniform became increasingly loud and excited as I indicated I have to get in. An American came to my rescue, who told me I first have to announce my arrival in a small building across the street. Well, he finally got in, and he says, most impressive was an exhibition with 45 glass cabinets corresponding to the 45 language services, each one 2 meters tall and half a meter wide, with souvenirs sent or brought in by listeners. Reminiscent from the German cabinet was a Bavarian beer can. The Russian cabinet contained an empty vodka bottle and matryoshka puppets. Keith Perron, who used to work for CRI, says the soldiers who guard it are changed every 2 months, and none of them are from Beijing. In 1989, PLA soldiers who were from Beijing started fighting the soldiers from outside the city, trying to prevent them from taking action in Tiananmen. In March 1990, at the Party Congress, the military leaders decided to only have soldiers from outside Beijing in Beijing. It's so funny to see the changing of the guards at 8 and 2 a.m. and p.m. And Keith Perron, who also worked for Radio Havana Cuba, says, honestly, I could not compare them. Cuba was fun and people had a sense of humor. At CRI, it was totally different. In Cuba, most people know the system, the revolution does not work and is crazy. But they say, let's make the best of it. Things will change sooner or later. In China, it's do anything to support the party and show respect, whoever the waxwork is who is running the country. Mind you, maybe three people at Radio Havana Cuba still feel the Cold War is underway. And Keith says, although the salary was very small and food is rationed, I really enjoyed working there. The most fun I've ever had in any station. Havana is a wild city. There's always things to do. I woke up at 9 a.m., went to the beach, stayed until 2 p.m., and then went to work. On weekends, also on the beach. And the staff, except for a few, were always having fun on Fridays. The English, French, and Creoles would have parties at the station. Not much food, but lots of drinking. Of all the RHC staff, the person I had the utmost respect for is Manolo de la Rosa. He and his wife treated me like their son when I was there, and Manolito, his son, was like having a brother I never had. Well, you can read Keith Perrone's full comments about China and Cuba, most recently in DX Listening Digest 9045, via our website, worldofradio.org. And this is the 1463rd edition of that program, World of Radio, where your contributions are always welcome, to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. James McDonald in Nigeria says he hears the Equatorial Guinea domestic stations on 6250 and 5005. Sometimes they are in parallel from Bata and Malabo. A particular interest is on Sunday evenings when there's sometimes a mailbag program. This was at 2023 UT on 5005 in Spanish, reading reception reports in full from DXers in Finland. That was May 10th, and there was another listener correspondence program the following Sunday, May 17th, from 2013 until 2052, with reports from Brazil. But I did not hear one on May 24th. Anyhow, check on Sunday evenings if you can hear Equatorial Guinea at that time on 5005. Mike Cooper in Georgia has been keeping us informed about the strike at Radio France International, which has gone on and on day after day, week after week. And as we record, the latest info we had was that it would continue at least through Tuesday, June 2nd. Meanwhile, they play a lot of film music, which is quite enjoyable. For example, during the Spanish broadcasts at 21 UT on 17630 and at 12 UT on 13640, both relayed via French Guiana. Supratik Sanatani in Kolkata, India, tells us that Cyclone Ayla, or is it Ayla, A-I-L-A, silenced most of the transmissions of All India Radio in that city. When it passed over May 25th with winds up to 100 kilometers per hour, it was not until 4 days later that most of them were back on the air, including the megawatt external service transmitter on medium wave 594. Reporting to British DX Club Communication and Australian DX News, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria thinks he's heard a new clandestine for Iran on 4770, varying to 4795. ID seems to be Radiosu Turkistani Irana, or Radio Iranian Turkistan. Signs on around 0200 with jamming from Iran. The relay of RTE Ireland to Africa at 1930 to 2030 UT via South Africa is supposed to shift frequency from 6220 to 6225, avoiding interference from Mystery Radio. However, as of June 2nd, Jari Savolainen in Finland says it was still on 6220. Meanwhile, Ireland's state broadcaster RTE is on the brink of bankruptcy, according to a story in The Independent of June 1st. It was not able to pay staff by October unless salary cuts and redundancies are implemented. Thanks to Mike Terry for that story, originally from the Belfast Telegraph. Israeli media are reporting that a small and unconventional Iran office in the Ministry of Defense will be shut down. It's known as the Lebanon Coordinator Unit, but it had a budget of over $1 million a year, according to Haaretz, and among other things, funded a Farsi-language Israel radio program broadcast on shortwave into Iran, according to Foreign Policy, both via KimAndrewElliott.com. Kim says the Farsi transmission is the sole remaining Kol Israel shortwave broadcast, so will it continue in light of this news? Joe's Jacob in DX India says Radio Kashmir in Srinagar is now signing on earlier on 4950 at midnight UT. It used to be at midnight 25 in the summer and 0120 in the winter. Kevin O'Donovan in New Mexico, who provides a DX segment to KBS World Radio, tells me that he visited the station last March, and there are pictures and stories of his trip to Korea at his personal blog, jazzkevin.blogspot.com. Radio Netherlands has been persuaded by its Spanish-speaking listeners to resume an hour on shortwave to southern South America. Although the first day, June 1st, the French Guiana Relay apparently got the wrong program feed from Russia instead. In any event, I wonder, since Radio Netherlands was open to such persuasion in Spanish, how about it, English speakers in North America? A massive campaign to resume just 1 hour of English via Bonaire or French Guiana might persuade them too. Andy Sennett says, I've warned my colleagues, we're taking on extra staff to deal with the flood of correspondence. And this led to an interesting discussion in DX Listening Digest. Andy says, everyone is welcome to write to RNW to make the case for resuming English shortwave to North America, but if you want to stand any chance of being taken seriously, you need to provide a reasoned argument justifying the cost involved. Well, I wonder, exactly how did the proponents of resuming Spanish successfully justify that cost? But resuming an hour of English would not necessarily increase costs at all if it replaced one transmitter hour of, for example, Dutch. Anyhow, the address to write to is letters@rnw.nl. By the way, Radio Netherlands has just launched their redesigned website where shortwave is hardly mentioned. Voice of Nigeria and Belarus are clashing on 7255. Dave Valco in Pennsylvania was hearing Nigeria, but the frequency was 1 kilohertz off, 7256. May 27th at 2107, that's probably when they're in Hausa. However, at 21:30, they were back on 7255. However, before 2100, Belarus was in the clear on the same frequency. We previously reported that BBC World Service, much to the dismay of its unionized workers in Britain, was outsourcing its Hindi service to actually originate in India. Now they're doing the same with the French service to Africa, according to a story in Guardian via J.E. Durso. They're reporting that the new director of BBC World Service intends to move the French to Africa service to Dakar, Senegal. Via CamAndrewElliott.com, the Wall Street Journal reported that among shifts at the National Security Council, a new entity, the Global Engagement Directorate, will aim to coordinate public diplomacy, foreign assistance, and international communications at a single White House desk. And Kim replies, I don't know if U.S. international broadcasting will be among the activities coordinated, but international communication suggests that might be the case. It dovetails with rumors the Obama administration has not nominated new members for the Broadcasting Board of Governors because it plans to eliminate the BBG. The best thing the BBG can do now is to place large pieces of furniture in front of the door. When staff of the Global Engagement Directorate come to visit, be very quiet until they leave. Otherwise, eventually someone in a goatskin tent in the desert will be listening to the news on VOA. He will say to his companion, it sounds like someone has coordinated this newscast. Please retune the radio to the BBC. VOA has showed up on some new frequencies, 6120 at 19 UT, reported by Edwin Southwell in England, World DX Club. It turns out that 1 hour is now relayed via South Africa. I've previously mentioned 14 to 15 UT on 17585, the first half via Greenville, the second half via Thailand, with an interruption in the middle. But now the second half has been moved to Botswana, says Dragan Lekic in Serbia. A Navy Mars member tells me it's in danger of being abolished at the end of September. The U.S. Navy considers it obsolete and no longer relevant, unlike Army and Air Force Mars. While Navy Mars has made little effort to bring in new blood, many members are aging into their 70s and 80s. They're dedicated veterans, but set in their ways. One problem is the financial crunch, and the supply of surplus equipment has dried up. The military is trying to keep its old equipment patched up and working. That was originally an incentive for hams to get active in Mars, obtaining transmitters and other things at little or no cost. which could also be used on the ham bands. What remains of Mars in the other branches is going to be renamed Military Auxiliary Radio System instead of Affiliate, stepping up its importance in the hierarchy. There is actually a notice posted on the NavyMars.org website about the coming closure, unless something is done about it, on 30 September. The commander of Naval Network Warfare Command has decided to sunset the Mars mission with Navy as of 30 September. And it goes on in usual military gobbledygook about how to return the equipment. There's a religious AM station in Battle Creek, Michigan, WOLY 1500, which has been ordered off the air by the FCC because its license was not properly renewed. This has been going on for some time, but they have not gone off the air. Artie Bigley sends yet another notice from the FCC ordering WOLY off the air immediately. Last week we mentioned a mystery Russian broadcast being heard on 1710 kilohertz in the state of Washington and Oregon. There's been a lot of discussion on this on the IRCA list. Several members in the area have been tracking it down. The signal peaks at Linwood and Mill Creek, Washington, but if there's only one transmitter, it's coming from a private residence in Mill Creek. This was found by Tom Roethlisberger, K7WV. It seems to be relaying a satellite service, as yet unidentified, of Protestant programming in Russian. There was a lot of press this week about Vatican Radio going commercial in July to meet rising costs. For example, a BBC story via Mark Haddam. An ad agency is to vet the ads to make sure they are in keeping with moral standards. On 6 July, it will transmit its first commercial. Bill Bergadano, Shortwave Programs, Heard VR, announced this themselves on their 0250 UT English broadcast. The first one will be for the Italian Electric Company. This leads us to assume that we'll be hearing ads on shortwave from Vatican Radio, but these stories don't actually say that explicitly. Kim Elliott says they're to be on the local domestic service in Rome, 105 Live FM, so apparently the ads will not be heard on shortwave for now at least. However, there are some non-private shortwave stations already with some advertising. April Ferguson points out that she's heard the voice of Russia appealing for advertisers, if not actually running much advertising. And, of course, Radio Thailand's English service includes outright commercials, if mainly for government agencies. The Ontario DX Association has transformed from a membership subscription setup to putting all its column on the web for free. Check out www.odxa.on.ca. The Propagation Outlook from Boulder, issued June 2nd. A&K indices mostly 5 and 2 until June 29th, 10 and 3. Solar flux peaking at 74 from June 8th to 13th and dropping to 70 June 19th to 25th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio, 1463.